This is the Genesis Next Steps podcast, which is about all things, what are we doing next today? That's what we're talking about today, is what are we doing next? But this is a space for honest, deeper conversation. The why of this podcast is to help participants and partners at Genesis get the vision of decisions. And so I think what I've realized, and I think a lot of people on staff have realized, is like we talk about stuff 5-6 days a week. What's going on at Genesis? What are we doing? What can we do better? What's next? And then there's some people that would love to kind of get the scoop on those things, but they're not with us as much as we are here, you know, talking and discussing things. And so that's what this podcast serves to do, is we want to keep you in the know and let you know some of the thought process and vision behind decisions and strategy and all the things that we do here as a church.
It's easy for us to, this is Norm, by the way, Norm Byers, it's easy for us to take for granted that everybody understands what we're thinking about
yes.
as leaders. And we, you know, the judgment of your leadership is how close are the people following you behind you. And if they're way, way, way over there, then you've missed it. And
yes.
sometimes we've missed it.
Yeah, so we want to do this podcast to fill people in, and I'm sure, you know, there's some things at Genesis Church that people are curious about. They want to know more. And so that's what Next Steps is all about. We've talked about it for a while. What would this look like to do a podcast? And now's the time. Let's do it. So we just celebrated October 26th, our 20th birthday. I was 11 when Genesis was founded,
Ooh.
Or just almost 11. I was 10 years old and 363 days old when Genesis was founded. And that's awesome. 20 years. Happy birthday to Genesis. We broke out the s'mores. Really good stuff. Talk to me about the announcement that we made. You know, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before that, what did you learn? Or what do you want to, how did you grow through 20 years of Genesis, Norm?
There's just so much to say, and I've said a few things about it, and I won't say enough here, but, you know, most of it or a lot of it is just learning the hard way many mm-hmm. times. Two steps forward, one back, it seems like, but the Lord is faithful, and, you know, the whole celebration is really about God's greatness and His goodness, and even just looking back, just seeing what God has done,
yeah.
you know, He has done it
yes.
through us. You know, we're like conduit. And so it's amazing. And one of the things I want to point out is God started Genesis not with a crowd, but with a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And He calls people to things. And this is important because we often think, I have often thought it's all about the crowd. I got to get the crowd there. I got to build a big crowd. And when I reflect back on God called Brenda and I to move here, and you might not have ever heard this, everybody out there, I don't know if you have, what I'm going to say is, but God called us here to start the Northern Michigan church planting movement.
Mm-hmm.
That was the call.
Yeah.
And it was going to start with one church that would then grow to other churches. And honestly, that's what God called us here to do. And so that was a calling. And then others got called to it, like 23 other adults, several of which, like a dozen, are still with us at Genesis.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this. Jeremy Monti, Dan Hasty, Jeff Bruni, Hot Rod Anderson.
Yeah.
They're all still here, and their wives and their elders are still a part of forming what is happening here. And that's cool. Jamie and Christy Woodall got called to help start us a church, you know, Genesis Boyne. And then like 25 adults got on board with that. And so that was before there were services, before there was a gathering. They got called to do something, mm-hmm. to bring the gospel to a new community. Will and Holly Hennigan went through that process as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim and Rhonda most recently, and I got to put it out there, Jim had the most on his launch team, 30 adults. So praise the Lord for
yeah.
that. But, you know, just the emphasis here, before there was a crowd, He called people.
Yeah.
And that's how God works. And that's something that I've learned. And, you know, when I learned that, and it's been gradual, it's taken a lot of pressure off.
Yeah. Because what that says is it's not your job to convince them or put them in a headlock and give them a noogie to get them to...
I did some headlocks.
You did some headlocks. How did it work?
Not very well.
Something tells you those people aren't called.
No. But when you force people, it doesn't work.
No.
Well.
No. And so it's like, if this is God's plan, nothing will stop it. And so they're called. They're going to be on board. They're going to be part of it. And talk to me. We've been in this series right now on the book of Acts. And we've talked about friction and fruit.
Yeah.
And you've seen some of that over the years.
Oh, man. Just trials, though, they can lead to testimony. I mean, that's kind of the thought I've had is like so many trials, so many difficulties. Mm-hmm. If anyone listening has ever started anything, an entrepreneur to business or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, started a web page, I don't know. It's difficult. It's hard. You're swimming against the current, you know, and so, but like you said, back to Acts, we learn that gospel friction normally precedes gospel fruit.
Yeah.
It's normally there. It's normally a part of the dynamic. And, you know, and we just, in all of our churches, we experience, you know, moving here and there, you know, only the smart people find us, that joke, you know, and then sometimes the maturity of the leadership, I'll say it this way, the maturity of Norm Byers wasn't keeping pace with the growth of the church. And so, you know, it's a humbling thing to look back.
Yes. And yet God, and if God calls, it's going to be a bumpy road, but it's going to be his road that we walk down.
Mishires can kill any organization. And we've had some. We've had some major screw-ups in that regard, you know, in the past. And, you know, I heard this quote and I thought it was so true. You can delegate authority, but you can't delegate trust.
Yeah.
And when you have a misfire, it breaks the trust of the entire team.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had to go work through that on a couple of occasions where we made mistakes. And so, there was a lot of friction. But, you know, it's interesting how God uses that to prune.
Yep.
And, you know, we do some autopsies. You've been a part of it. Like, hey, we need to do an autopsy on that thing. Whatever. Drag the corpse in here.
What happened?
Right. And COVID, you know, you look at COVID and that was, you were around for that ride. And I mean, we were like, what the heck is going on? What are we going to do?
This is totally unprecedented.
But, you know, we grew a second gathering.
Mm-hmm.
God led us to do that. We clarified our relationship with Genesis Boyne and what we were going to do going forward. And, you know, we hired Zach, our full-time worship leader. We had never had a full-time worship leader up to that point. And Kathy to work with kids. We'd never had a staff member. And we just said, hey, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
So we rolled the dice, so to speak. But anyway, it was there was a lot of friction, but we've seen a lot of fruit as well.
Yeah. That's something I like to tell people is you can – I guarantee you I'm going to do two things in life. One is make mistakes, and the other thing is learn from them.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
That's what we're doing. That's awesome. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
And looking forward for Genesis Church.
Yeah, yeah.
Because our prayer is that Genesis Church, it's 20 years old, but we're going to be celebrating 40 years old. We're going to be celebrating,
God willing,
60 years old, 100 years old. This church will still be here proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to be a forward-looking church.
Yeah, yeah.
And to say, what's next? Yeah. What's on the horizon? Yeah. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been in this series talking about the gospel and how essential that is to the church. That is the why.
Yeah.
Everything else is attached to that. And if we don't have that, then we're nothing.
Yeah.
And we're gone.
Yeah.
And
by God's grace.
By God's grace. That's right. You know, when we built this building here that we're in, we're sitting in my office doing this podcast.
Yeah.
I just had this vision that this building could be here 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to outlive me. But sorry to get choked up, but it's going to outlive me. But if we don't want this facility, whatever, to fall into enemy hands, like the gospel, we got to make sure that we're reproducing, you know, leaders who are gospel-centered and multipliers. And so, you know, that's a big thing. But here's the thing looking forward that is so important. God wants Genesis to be more fruitful. He wants this church to be even more fruitful than it's been.
Yeah.
And I think the first 20 years has been good. There's been a lot of good. It's not been perfect. It's not been pretty.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put it on your wall and say, that's a Picasso. You'd put it on, you might put it in, you know, one of the rooms way down in the basement or something on the wall. But no. I mean, in all honesty, the church has been fruitful. We've seen people come to Christ. We've planted churches. We've invested into others and raised them up. But going forward, God wants it to be more fruitful.
Yeah.
Like, we're not done.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're at risk a little bit because we're 20,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're at risk because, like, two of our congregations just got buildings,
yeah.
you know, and that can be kind of a, we've arrived, you know, we've kind of reached the pinnacle of being a church, owning a building. It's not the pinnacle.
No.
It's just a tool, you know, to help us. And so God wants Genesis to be more fruitful, and it means that that statement that God wants us to be fruitful means that things are not going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just going to be this, you know, think of the same and you think of status quo. You think of resting on your laurels. You think of, oh, we're just kind of rinse and repeat and just keep doing this. And that doesn't work to a changing culture. That doesn't work in the places that God wants us to go. So the plan is, you know, we're going to hire a Petoskey pastor
mm-hmm.
who's going to lead this congregation, and I will get the opportunity to refocus my energies into coaching and helping us plant more churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of the big announcement at the birthday celebration.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people went, wait, what? Like, you know how...
I snuck it in there, didn't I?
What I don't want to say is that nobody pays attention when a pastor's talking, and I'm saying that as a pastor, but I feel like sometimes you can let your mind wander at times. And if anybody let their mind wander during your, you know, birthday celebration talk, that was certainly something that brought them back to focus. And I think a lot of people went, wait, what did you say? What does that mean?
Are you saying that was like smelling salts? Like black coffee?
Yeah, some black coffee bright and early in the morning. And so I think people have a lot of questions. You know, you're talking about fruitfulness. Hey, I like the fruit we're growing right now. Why do we got to go plant new orchards? Or why do we got to, you know, get out the fertilizer? Like, people have questions. And so, you know, things aren't going to stay the same. What things aren't going to be the same? Why are we doing this?
And more than anything,
I'm like, what makes you excited about this change that's coming? Yeah.
I'm very excited about it. And I just want to say, it's not change for change sake.
Okay.
You know, it's not like, oh, you know what? We should change the furniture around in the living room and, you know, spice it up a little bit. You know, it's not just...
It's not feng shui.
No.
No.
It just something to do to kind of, you know, makes things a little fresher. No, it honestly, this kind of this process to restructure our pastoral staff, it's all about being more fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an opportunity, and I want to kind of lay out a little bit of the process. Like, I began to have some of these feelings a couple of years ago. We began to talk about them. And then in the last year, we began to talk more in our executive team and in the elders meetings and in the staff meetings to just like, I'm looking for discernment. Am I thinking in the right way? I'm thinking growth. I'm thinking fruitfulness. And so, you know, this wasn't just Norm Byers came down from Mount Sinai with the tablets, you know, walking down the hill and like, here's what I think, you know, it's been, well, here's an idea I have and let's test this over time. And so there's been consensus with our team. So I want to throw that out there. And so when I say we, I'm not talking about a mouse in my pocket.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm talking about, we see an opportunity to deepen the discipleship culture of Genesis Petoskey.
Mm-hmm.
And that can have an impact in the future to every one of our congregations.
Yeah.
And so what we're looking at is not just, we have a lot of discipleship structures in place.
Mm-hmm.
We have small groups. We have different types of groups. We have inductive Bible study. We have lots of really good things, but what we want to see develop is a discipleship culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we eat and breathe it.
Yeah.
And it's just everything we do. And so we're really going to be looking for, in this role, to lead the church here, like we have site pastors in each of our other churches.
Yep.
We're looking for a discipleship specialist. I mean, someone who eats, breathes, and drinks discipleship. Someone who has an expertise in this area. We really don't have an expert on our team right now. I mean, we're all doing B minus, you know, B, you know, or me C plus, you know, work mm-hmm. in this area, but just to grow that. And so someone that is intentional and knows how to, Genesis has always been a relational church. As a matter of fact, our first mission was relationships for Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and that stays with us.
Yeah.
Even though we've changed it up to, you know, to know Christ and to make him known, it's still a very relational concept.
Yes.
And so, you know, the person that comes in to do that is, it'll be very relational and just reproducible spiritual formation so that every member of the congregation is growing. It's not just a few. It's not just, you know, okay, those in groups or those on ministry teams, but a cohesive plan. And so I'm excited about it. I've just, what I look at as I see potential.
Yeah.
I see potential beyond what I've been able to bring the church to here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've done a decent job. I don't feel bad. I'm not sulking. I'm not sad. I'm excited because I'm like, oh, to see this grow and to crank out, you know, widgets, crank out, you know, disciples that will go and change the world. And, you know, the main focus of a disciple is not that they stay and we build this big, it's that they're sent.
Yes.
Discipleship is all about you raise somebody up and now they're sent to their mission.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the calling earlier. That's very important.
Yeah.
Our whole vision, our 10-year vision, we're kind of getting towards the end of it now, but it's to equip hundreds of families and individuals to be Christ-centered, which, what is that? It means this, they'll know their call and they'll be fully invested into it.
Yeah.
So you see, there's calling here that we want to help people discover. And so the person that we're going to hire for this opportunity is going to turn our systems into a spiritual greenhouse.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some decent systems. We've worked it at hard.
Yeah.
But we're going to get that specialist. So that's kind of the first piece of it right there.
Yeah. Growing deeper.
Yes.
With a new Petoskey site camp or campus pastor.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what's the other piece of it?
The other piece of it, we have an opportunity. Not a mouse in my pocket. We've been talking about this.
Yeah.
Executive team, elder team, staff. We see an opportunity to grow and strengthen our shared ministry.
Yes.
The shared ministry. That's where one church with multiple congregations. We have different congregations and even different kinds of congregations. We've got the micro church, you know, that Will and Holly. And we plan to do more of those. We have some opportunities we're looking at into the future.
Mm-hmm.
We see an opportunity to grow and strengthen our shared ministry. That to grow that takes intentionality.
Yes.
It takes intentionality, and we have to, in order to multiply that, you have to be intentional about it. And so I'll be shifting more into that role,
yep.
coaching our pastors. I already do that. I've been, in essence, doing both of these jobs to a degree with help from Johnny and Scott and everybody else. But just saying, you know, to be able to now focus more in on the coaching of the pastors and how are we going to plant more churches? What's that going to look like?
Yep.
And we've got a lot of ideas. I won't bore you with all of them, but there's a lot of really good things. But shared ministry, it's the hub. It's the central engine that ensures all four congregations are moving together. We're unified.
Yep.
We're unified in our mission and our vision. And yet, while maintaining the local flavor.
Yes.
Contextualization. They're contextualizing our mission, our vision, our values, and our strategic anchors in their context.
Yep.
So I get to coach them.
Yep.
And it's we're all about this. We've been learning a lot. Johnny, you know this, those of you listening in. We've been learning how to coach for development. That's a big piece. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between, let me say it this way. There's coaching for performance, which is helping someone be more good at a task.
Yep.
And that's a legitimate thing, by the way. It's not a bad thing.
Yep.
And then there's coaching for development, which has to do with what is this person called to be?
Yes.
What is God wanting to do with them? And then we come alongside of them.
Yeah.
So in the same way in each of our churches, we're coaching for develop, or we're coaching for our pastors to be developed more, the people there, for them to be everything God wants them to be in that context. And yes, you coach for performance as you're going along, like, oh, here's something you can do to make yourself better at this. And that gets encompassed into that as well. I hope that isn't too confusing. But
no, yeah, definitely. And I think what it is the word that keeps coming back and back and back over and over in this conversation is call. And I think in order to be called, you have to be listening. And you have to go, okay, God, you're the one who's leading this. You're the one who's in charge. Yeah. You have in mind what's going to happen next. And we want to be faithful to do the work.
Yeah.
To prepare, to get ready, to take the steps necessary for where you're leading. And so let's talk about that as we kind of finish out our time together.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're looking for a new campus pastor.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be coaching and developing these people, not to crank out widgets, but to be totally invested in the call of God on their lives.
Yes.
This is what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
You run that out. You know, you get to that finish line and you're well done, good and faithful servant, whoever you are, you know? Yeah. And so I think the Petoskey Site campus pastor's going to do that for the people here.
Yeah.
You know, get ready for him to get with you and to take you deeper than you've been before. That's exciting.
Yes.
And then as we mobilize you, it's going to be, let's go further out.
Yeah.
Than we've ever been before.
That's right.
And so it's kind of a downwards and outwards.
Yeah.
We're going downwards into rooted faith, and we're going outwards to new communities and visions for what we're
going
to do
next. I like what Paul said one time. Paul said, and I'm trying to remember if it was 1 Thessalonians. I can't remember this part, but I think it is 1 Thessalonians, because I actually worked through that book years ago, and there's a specific word in the Greek that he uses there. But he's like, I did not leave you orphaned.
Yeah.
And so that's what this is. It's like, hey, I've done what I can. Now we need to find someone that can take this to the next level.
Yep.
And so that's really like, I feel a responsibility to do that.
Yes.
And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And it is, I know we're going to end up with this, I think, but it is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, there is big potential reward in what we're doing, but there is risk.
Yeah. You talked earlier about mishires, you know, and the trust that needs to be rebuilt. Yeah.
And fortunately, we've learned a lot about hiring. We've learned about, and Johnny, you and I kid around a lot about, you know, letting the meat fall off the bones. Like, we're going to slow cook this baby.
Yes.
You know, put it in the slow cooker.
I want brisket. I don't want hot pockets. That's my motto. I'm kind of a turtle.
We're going to turn on the pressure cooker, and we're going to cook that meat, and it's going to be tender, man. It's going to fall right off the bone.
Yes.
I like that. I like that juxtaposition to hot pocket.
And throw it in the microwave. Yeah.
Get rid of that stuff.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, you know, it's, and I know this is surprising to some people, and it's hard to kind of get used to, you know, like the change that may be coming, but
yes,
I want everybody to understand this listening that, and I think you brought this up the other day when we were having a conversation about it, that we believe from this side of it, this is a very serious process.
Yes.
We're not taking it lightly. We're taking it slow. We're taking it easy. There's no deadline. There's no, like, we got to have this done by January, you know, 26 or something crazy like that. No, we're not doing that. We're process driven.
Yes.
Not timeline driven.
Yeah. And we're waiting for the right person who's called, you know, because they will be. That's the beautiful thing about it, is if we trust God, he will call the right,
that's right,
man to the job.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So what does that process look like? What kind of person are we looking like?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think just kind of the rough things are, you know, I mean, obviously you always start with character. You want to know, like, okay, we need a person with godly character, someone who is Christ-centered, someone who is relationally sound, you know, so those are some of the things maybe don't even need to be said, but I mean, I just want that to be said, though. It's important. And competency, we're looking for someone emotional and relationally competent, someone who knows how to empower. That's a big word I was going to get into, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it here. But the power of empowerment.
Yeah, talk about it.
It's incredible. The power of empowerment, raising up people to do it. A pastor can't do everything.
Yeah.
Our responsibility is to equip the true ministers to do the ministry.
That's right.
And that's the power of empowerment. And so we see that. And Johnny, you do a great job of that with your youth leaders. You've raised up a community of youth leaders.
Yeah.
Andrea Skidema does a great job. The care team, you know, there's just different things and others. I'm not seeing everybody.
Yeah.
You know, John and Jim and their churches are doing a great job with that.
Yes.
But the power of empowerment, it's incredible. So we need someone that's competent in that. Someone that's competent in discipleship, understands, once again, knows the systems and structures, but is a champion of it. So we'll be really evaluating that heavy. And then the last piece of it is chemistry. They got to fit with Genesis. And a key thing here, and this is behind the curtain here. Yep, so
that's right.
You know, there's kind of two kinds of pastoral leaders like this. There's vision creators and there's vision carriers.
Yes.
And so we really need someone who has a little bit of creativity for sure, because they need to assess our discipleship structures and all that. But they can't be creating new vision, you know, because we have a vision. And so we really have to find someone that will fit Genesis's, the mission that we have, the vision that we have, fits the culture, fits who we are. So it's going to take time. We're going to go to dinner and see how they talk to the wait staff. You know, yep. We'll have them to our house. We'll do a lot of different things over time. And I learned this from Chick-fil-A. They spend like 6 months before they hire a middle manager.
Yep.
They want to make sure that this is a good cultural fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got something that I really appreciate about our church is there's a really wonderful humility to our team that we get together and we lead together, and it's like a mutual submission. And, you know, I am convinced that if the right guy comes along, he's going to fit really, really well into this. And I do feel like we have been pursuing what God has called us to, and where God guides, he provides. So, Norm, let's do a quick prayer as we close our time together. For everybody listening, thank you so much for giving us 27 minutes of your time. Grateful for that. And I hope this helped you get some clarity on where we're headed next and what's giving us energy, what we're talking about, what gets us excited here at Genesis Church. And would you just, as we kind of end our time together, if you're listening, would you commit to praying regularly and just with great excitement for the future, for what God is doing in our midst, that the right man would be called to this job and the gospel would remain front and center at this church? So let's pray right now, real quick. Father God, thank you so much for your church, your calling on your disciples in Northern Michigan, God. I am so convinced that you are not done with us. You are taking us into new frontiers, and you're also calling us deeper into that path of discipleship, following after you, laying aside even good things to pursue you, God, above all else. Thank you for Norm. Thank you for the elders of Genesis Church. Thank you for the leadership and everybody from the people who preach on Sunday to those most essential greeters at the door. And I just pray that this church keeps the gospel front and center, and we exist for one purpose and one purpose alone, to know Christ and make him known. Thank you guys so much for listening, and hopefully we'll get to do this podcast again in the future.